Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just welcome Your presence in this place, Lord. And Lord, we welcome the freedom that comes, Lord, in our worship and our praise to You. We thank You, Lord, that You are welcoming us this morning, Lord, as we welcome You. Thank You, Lord, for every person in this building, Lord. Thank You for the freedom, Lord, that You bring to each one of us. Lord, I pray that this day our hearts, Lord, would become more with You, Lord, inside of it, Lord, with more of You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, worship team. Before I start with my sermon this morning, please be seated. And we had just gotten a call earlier today about a gentleman that our church has prayed for. And this morning we were told that they have summoned his family to be with him because maybe this is his last moments on earth. But of course we know that there is no such thing, right? God took people out of the tombs. And so it is our place to believe that if it's God's will to do a miracle in anyone's life, that He can. And so today, I would just like us as a church to not only stand with the family, but stand in that place that believes that God is a God of miracles. This gentleman's name is Brian, and he's battled with sickness for quite a while, and we've been lifting him up in that area. So as I pray, just from where you are, please join me in the prayer. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that You are a God of miracles. We thank You, Lord, that regardless of what we see before our eyes, Lord, You have the last word. And Lord, so we just present Brian into Your hands, Lord. And we say that Your will be done this day, Lord. Your will be done in his life, Lord. And Lord, if life is to come in his days in the future, Lord, may it be a healthy life, Lord. May it be a life full of freedom, a life full of energy, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for those, Lord, that continue to seek Your face, Lord. Be with the family, Lord. Bless them. We thank You in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Thank you, church. My sermon today is on the Holy Spirit. And when I started praying about what I was to speak on today, it was one of those questions where I was going, Lord, I'm speaking to a spirit-filled church, you know, and I'm going, yeah, we are, right? Yeah. Amen. And it is kind of a neat thing to be able to speak and know that we are relating in the subject. And so I know that the majority of us sitting in this building have that relationship, have that knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is and who we are because of Him and through Him. And so as I prayed about this, I'm thinking, well, if this is a Spirit-filled church, it's probably a lot of what I say today is going to seem maybe very basic to you, but maybe it's just that we all need a reminder of who He is. Sometimes we take the idea that we're spirit-filled And, you know, we're just doing all the stuff and not realizing what a treasure we have within us. And there was a while back that there was a lady who is no longer in this church, but on our way out, she just stopped me and she asked me that question. She says, what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? And even after I gave her some information on it, I could see that she still wasn't there. You know, still didn't have the understanding of the reality of who the Holy Spirit is. And some Christians seem to have the idea that the Holy Spirit is an it or a what. And maybe just a manifestation of the power of God. And when you really think about it, it's kind of something to understand, because, you know, we all read about Jesus, and he's a person. He was a human. We can relate to his walk on earth. We could see him. We can see Jesus. And as you see Jesus always speaking to the Father, even though we don't see the Father, but even just that name has an image for us to look at. He's the Father. He's Jesus' Father. We look around and we see fathers in the house. So there's an image that we can understand. And then comes the Holy Spirit, and it makes it seem like he's just out in the air somewhere, and that he's just something that floats around, and that, you know. And you do hear that in Genesis. It says that his spirit hovered over the earth. So there is that, you know, but he's a spirit. But it's a part of the Godhead that sometimes it's hard to see. And like I said, for the majority of you here, you're not in that place. But there are people that possibly are. So I'm hoping that this message speaks to those that might have a question, speaks to those that may need to be reminded of what a treasure we have within us. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. And he's the third person of the Godhead, a divine person with a plan for our lives. And today, if you'll notice on the on your bulletin, the power verse that I use is out of Galatians 4:6. And it says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And so the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of Jesus, now in each one of us. And if you picture this, you know, and I would ask this, if you could see Jesus, and one day he comes and he says, let's use me for an example, John, he says, I've got a group of people out there. I'm talking to Jesus as a human being. I've got a group of people, and he says, that are waiting for me, and I need you, me. I need you to go with me. I need you to lay hands on those that will be there. There's a lot of sick people. There's a lot of people just needing me just to comfort them. And so you've got Jesus beside you. You're walking with you, and you're side by side. You walk into this group of people, and, you know, what would John's confidence level be? I've got Jesus right next to me. You know that group of people? Piece of cake, you know? And I'm walking through the group, and people are reaching out to Jesus and they're looking at me and say, who's that guy? You know, he said, what does John say? I'm with him. Yep. He called me out today. I'm with him. The confidence level that we would have, that assurance that when we go to this group of people and we do what Jesus has called us to do, would be so great that you're not focusing on John.
Oh,
sorry about that. You're not you're not focusing on yourself. You're focusing on that Jesus that you know that he's the one that's going to be doing the healing. He's the one that people are reaching for. It surely I'm just another person. But when you know that he's with you, you know that he called you, then what you can understand and what you go after, the boldness that you have, would be way beyond anything that we would comprehend. And so I just want you to envision that scene right there, is that when you're going out to do something, to minister to somebody, to go speak to someone, is to think and know that Jesus is with you. He's walking with you. He is, you're not walking out there by yourself. He's there if you just acknowledge the fact that he is. It says, Jesus now is in each one of us. A Jesus without boundaries or limitations. While in the flesh, Jesus could minister only in his close vicinity. And today, through his Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be the means through where Jesus works to extend his kingdom, and not only to our surroundings, but to the world. There are people out there that are touching every part of this world because we have that Jesus inside of us. We have that spirit, that power, that knowledge of who Jesus is inside of us. So even when Jesus left earth and he told his disciples, it was good for him to go. It was good that he left. And of course, when you're going to lose somebody that you've walked with and spent time with, the last thing you want to see them is to be gone. I don't look forward to losing people in my life, people that have been part of my walk in this life, whether it be family or immediate family or church family. It hurts. And so whenever Jesus was leaving earth, he told his disciples, it's good that I leave, but I'm going to give you something better. Hard to imagine, isn't it, that when you're looking at Jesus, to think that there's something that's better? I think his disciples were going, what can be better than you, Lord? You know, what can be better? And yet at another point, they found out. They found out that it was still him, but him closer than they would ever have him. Not walking beside you, but walking within you. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals and makes Jesus real to us and is always pointing us to him. That's what he does. He wants to show Jesus. And so when we read about Jesus, that it wouldn't be just a good story, that it would be a reality, that we would look at all the small things that Jesus did in his life. Sometimes we look at the miraculous, we look at the spectacular, we look at all the, you know, he calmed the ocean, yeah, but there were so many little things that he was doing that only he and his Father knew about. And so when you find those gems in this book, savor them. Find out what he was all about. Find out what made him so special, so much of that sinless, perfect sacrifice that would once have to come. Read all about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is that person that will get us there. because he breathes life into the words in the Bible. And he turns information into revelation and therefore bring in transformation. If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take us, to show us, then there is no growth. As I said, we could be reading this book and it's just a book with a bunch of words, a lot of print. And the Holy Spirit's place is to show us the reality, and that as we read, we're growing, that we are changing, our spirits are growing, our cells are dying, as it says, and our spirits are growing. And so without the Holy Spirit, there is no growth. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to take us each day to where he wants us to go. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows the way, and through prayer and praise and worship can guide us into the presence of the Father. He stirs faith within our souls, causing us to expect and believe in miracles and signs and wonders. He opens our spiritual eyes and ears to a kingdom where he is the reigning king, and he empowers us to reign with him. And the word says that as he is, so are we in this world. It's hard to imagine us having a reign on this earth over all the tactics of the enemy, having a reign over sickness, having a reign over disease, having a reign over demonic forces that are here to try to destroy the children of God. But as he sits in the right hand of the Father, he tells us that so are we. We are reigning with him. And that's part of the point of this message, is that sometimes we take our place very casual, very ho-hum. Yeah, here we are, we're doing it. We reign with Jesus. And so walk in that, stand in that. He's our advocate, our teacher, our counselor, and our spirit of truth. And when he gives us the words to speak, and he gives us those words when sometimes we have none, and his presence is with us 24/7. A lot of our ministry, even coming from this pulpit, we don't have anything. I stand here before you only because he gives me whatever I need to give you. I wasn't supposed to do this again. He anoints and appoints and gives us a boldness that we never had. And as I said, I stand here because of that. He opens the floodgates of heaven for the outpouring of his Spirit. And as I've been reading this list, per se, of all these things that are who he is, I'm sure that if I started from my right side and ended up on the left side, that every one of you could add to this list, and it would all be something different. There is nothing that the Holy Spirit can't do. There is nothing that is beyond his realm. And so as I read these several things on this list, it's just to remind you of some of the things that he does. And because each one of us is an individual, how he does things in your day, how he does things in your life, is going to be different from what he does with a person sitting next to you. He knows you. And that's the, whether you want to call it good, or some may see it as bad, having the presence of the Holy Spirit, having Jesus inside of us, you know, he knows and he sees everything we do. So when we're out there thinking that we're getting away with something, he already knows what you're doing. He knew before you were going to do it, good or bad. And so it's a good thing, because he will bring us back to him, regardless of what it is that's going on in your life. All that the Holy Spirit is and does is an endless list, and he makes it available for us to just receive. Jesus said that we would do even greater things than he. And if we're not, there must be a restriction to the flow of his Holy Spirit. And it's not him. First scripture I want to go to is Luke 3:21. And I'll read 21 through 23. And it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And I just want to read those two. And what I want to bring up in this area is that here is a, of course you've seen this before, but here is a time when you see the Trinity all in one place. And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, it tells us that not only did the Holy Spirit descend, but the Gospel of John says that he remained. He remained on Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Spirit empowered specific people for a specific purpose. He would ascend and descend. And today, we are the dwelling place of that Holy Spirit. Now, verse 23 tells us that Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30. And until this, there wasn't very much told about his growing up. But he was always seen as a special child, seen even some as the Messiah. So from his virgin birth, and prophecies by Simeon and Anna at his consecration. And then at age 12, when he gets separated from his family and later found in the temple courts, learning from the teachers. These are really the only documentations that we have of Jesus growing up. And so I want to go to Luke 2:40, which is a little bit before that. And it says there, or 239, I'm sorry, starting with 39. And it says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And so even though you don't see too much of his childhood, but when you read this, it tells you that there was a time of preparation. God had been preparing him for this time when he became 30. And that was his perfect timing. And it says there on 240 that he had become strong. And he had become strong physically and spiritually. He had gained favor with the people around him. He wasn't, just out playing with the kids. He was learning. He was, from what we understand, he was helping his dad being a carpenter or whatever it was. But there was a growing in him to get him to a time that the Father said, this is that perfect time. You're ready. And so what I want to say is that perfect timing is not governed by age. And when you look at Peter after Pentecost, after all the things that he went wrong in his life, that perfect timing right after Pentecost, he went out and the Spirit was on him and he could speak boldly. It was his perfect timing for Peter to come out and let the Holy Spirit shine through him. And so I'm sure that some of us here have been waiting for that perfect time. And maybe today is that day. Maybe today is that perfect timing. And so when you look at, maybe you've been praying for a while and you haven't seen fruit of what you've been praying for. You've been asking God, when will I do whatever it is that you've been praying about? Lord, you said that I would be ministering in this area or that area. And you know that all his promises are good. And it's his timing that we have to wait for. So I want to tell you, preparation time is of great value. And so don't feel that it's not going to happen. When it's God's right timing, then just be ready. Be prepared for when he calls you, whatever that may be. And whether I see a lot of our teenagers here, he may be telling you to do something today. Today may be your day. Or today could be a day for one of these younger, older adults. So never lose that faith to know that it's never too late. I want to go now to Mark 1:29. And this says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, for me, this was just a scripture. Many more like it. But that's the point of it. This was a typical day for Jesus. After spending time at the synagogue, he goes to his friend's home to just fellowship with his friends. And while there, he finds a relative who is ill and brings healing to her. By evening, there are more people waiting for him. His presence had changed the atmosphere in that home, as our presence should change the atmosphere wherever we go. In our home, in our workplaces, whenever there's a song that our worship team does, and it says, when he walks into a room and sickness leaves, demons flee, and that is who you are, people. That is who you are. When you walk into a room, whether it be your friend's house that you had no idea what was going to go on, you just went to hang out. But here he finds somebody he could pray for. And pretty soon there's people out there saying, hey, Jesus is in the house. Hey, Jesus is in the house. And so know that Jesus is in the house because you carry him with you. He's with you all the time. And so to know that his presence is what changes everything around. Verse 35, let's see if I can read that again. This is one of the places that I want to look at. Verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. As I said a little bit earlier, you know, a lot of times we focus on the miraculous and all the very visible stuff. But when you look at something like this, even though here's the typical day for Jesus, and, you know, he's going to go out and he's got to heal people. And as you see, you know, they're calling him out is, you know, they're looking for you. Everybody wants Jesus. Well, good. I want him to. But Jesus, even though he knows that his day will progress in the way that it does, this is just another day for him. But he has to find that time. He has to find that solitary time before everything gets started. He goes, and while others are still asleep, he finds this place in the dark, and he says, okay, Dad, what do you have for me today? And so Jesus needed his one-on-one with his father before he entered the routine of his day. And as I said, we should take from his example. We need those one-on-one times where we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so we can recognize when it's him or our own conscience. And our own conscience can sometimes misguide us. We need to recognize his voice. So those times that we spend in the presence of God should be the most treasured. As we get to know his voice, even in the hecticness and distractions of our day, you will clearly know, without a doubt, when it's him. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. And I know that you're very familiar with this. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. And I'm going to read 29:11 through 14. And he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I'll just stop there. God does have wonderful plans for each of us. And we all want to walk in the path that He's set for us. Know where He's calling us to. And He promises that if we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. You know that sometimes doing so is not as easy as it sounds. You ever notice that the moment we begin to pray, we become bombarded by every distraction possible? Our minds begin to entertain our daily responsibilities, our fears, and even our inadequacies. Our flesh begins to dominate the heart intimacy that should belong to the Lord. So we need to subject our flesh and cry out to the Holy Spirit to show us the way to God's presence and not focus on what's going on the outside. As our flesh weakens, our spirit strengthens. The Holy Spirit wants to take us into the depths of God if we would just let Him. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Another one that you're familiar with. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in according to God's will. Through the Holy Spirit, we can not only reach the depths of God, but we can allow Him to reach into the depths of our hearts. Sometimes, even as He does, one layer at a time. Try that. We all have had times when there are no more words to pray, no more tears to cry. All the energy has been exhausted from our bodies. That's when the Holy Spirit prays for us. That's when we can call out and say, I have no more, but He has more. And so as our prayers come from the depths, as we said, it's from the depths of our bellies, there's something inside of us that when we think we've reached deep, there's deeper. And He's the only one that can take us to that place where we can give, as it says, when you search with all your heart. So that doesn't mean just surface prayers. That says, people, give me all, every part of what you have that hurts, every part of what you have that hinders you, every part of what you have that contains you from going out to where I've called you to be. And so we know we can't do it, but the Holy Spirit in us can. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. And I'm going to read 7 through 11. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. And the reason I wanted to bring these gifts up, and of course we all know that there are more than this list shows here, but this is just a good example of what the Holy Spirit brings. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, he has equipped us and empowered us to do so. And he's made available all we would ever need for that journey. And so what it says on here is that these are for the common good. That says that they're good for us. And you would think that if we know that they come from God, it can't be bad, right? So it's just one of these things where we just have to take what he's... Ay, ay, ay. How's that? Okay. Where am I? Anyway, it's for the common good. So they are good for us. And yet at the same time, some of us don't utilize all that we're given. And, that can be okay. But to think that if he says it's for the common good, there is a good reason that these things can be used in our church body, in our homes, wherever that may be. And I would think that when he talks about these things, one day when we're in heaven, we're not going to need gifts. We're going to have it all up there. And so these are meant for us to use while we're here on this earth. And you think about it, all Christians have faith. But this scripture tells us that even our faith is a gift. And that faith can be developed to a greater measure. So when our faith level appears to be at a low, we can ask the Holy Spirit for an increase. And there is always more from the Holy Spirit. Now we can use this faith gift that we're talking about, but everything that we need, just about the time that we think that we have it, he says, I got more. There is always more that the Holy Spirit has in store if we can just reach for it. And so whatever it may be, in this case it's faith, sometimes we do get down to where, as I said earlier, every part of us has been exhausted, and yet we're saying, Lord, I trust in you. I have faith. Whatever I have, that mustard seed, increase it, Lord. And so, as you can also see, that speaking in tongues is included in the list. And yet, for many, it's a gift that it's rejected. And there is great power waiting to be released through this gift. The enemy would want to convince you otherwise. Let's look, in Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And now this comes after the instruction of putting on the full armor of God. Praying in the Spirit is a mighty weapon. The Word tells us that these gifts are for our good. And so we must trust in Him for their use. So as these gifts are made available to you, know that there is a purpose for every one of these. Some of us use certain gifts more than others, and that's great. That's why we have a body. And not everyone sometimes is called to do the same things. But I've always looked at the gifts of the Spirit like having a toolbox. And one day, I may need a screwdriver. Another day, I may need a pair of pliers. But I carry that little toolbox around me. And so the Holy Spirit will supply these things for you when you need them. And so just ask him, you know. You don't always need a pair of pliers and you don't always need a screwdriver. And so when that time comes, he will give you what you need for that moment. And if not, he'll supply a brother or a sister that has been fluent in certain gifts, and that person will walk with you. But the Holy Spirit will supply and meet all your needs. The Holy Spirit, or the Word, speaks of the Holy Spirit from Genesis through Revelation. And the Holy Spirit has chosen to manifest himself in powerful and miraculous ways. As in the book of Acts, it was a sound like a violent wind. They saw tongues of fire, and they were speaking in tongues. In Exodus, he was the burning bush. In Deuteronomy, he was the cloud by day and the fire by night. So now let's go to 1 Kings 19. And I want to read 11 through 13. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And we can stop there. This time, it wasn't a gentle whisper. So I want to tell you that we can never put the Holy Spirit in a box. We must learn his ways, learn his voice. He will manifest as he chooses. And when he does, you know that his Spirit is active and flowing. He is flowing in your midst, and he is doing either with you or through you all he can. So step back from the noise and activity of your busy life and listen humbly and quietly for him. Look for him. Expect him. Call out from the depths of your heart. And as the word says, he promises you will find him. That is my message. I hope it spoke to some of you. And what I'd like to do now is pray. And I would like for each one of you to, if you haven't already, just dial down. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us. Whether it's with a small, still voice, or you're gonna see in your visions or whatever it is, but the Holy Spirit wants to touch your life this day. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence, Lord. You are welcome in this place, Lord. You are welcome. You are welcome, Lord. You are treasured. Lord, we ask that you would come now and Lord, you're here. You're within us. Let us hear that small, still voice, Lord. Let us hear. Let us see what you're doing, Lord. Let your glory fall on this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know each one of our hearts, Lord. I ask that if there's someone here, Lord, that has been unable to allow you to reach into the depths of their heart, Lord, that this would be the day that they would give that up, Lord, that they would put it in your hands, Lord. If someone has been praying and waiting for a word, Lord, to come true that you gave them months or maybe even years ago, Lord, that they would hear today, Lord, where that word is, Lord. Stir, Lord, stir within our hearts, Lord, the reality of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord. Bless us with that power, Lord, that comes only from you, Lord. Bless us with that boldness that comes only from you, Lord. And Lord, when we feel that we don't have words to pray or ways to touch people, Lord, we don't, but you do. Help us to embrace who you are in each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.